Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, please.
Rising time is 7:40.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 29, 2015, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, main bulletin board in the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Juskowitz, will you please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Ms. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. McHugh?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. Hand, would you lead the board in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. McTiernan, would you please be the process guardian for this evening?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the monthly board meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is February 3rd, 2015. Tonight's meeting is actually the rescheduled January 2015 monthly board of Education meeting that was canceled for the great blizzard of 2015. And I know we're all still digging out from that one. I'm very glad to see everybody's made it here very safe. This evening, we have a very busy agenda planned. Our first presentation tonight will be given by the district's auditor, Mr. William Colantano. Mr. Colantano will present to the Board of Education and to the public the final audit of our school district that concluded on June 30th of 2014. Our second presentation this evening will provide some clarity to some additional questions that members of our Board of Education and the public had and have on the potential for a full-day kindergarten program in Clinton Township. Last month, the district's kindergarten ad hoc committee presented the results of their year-long investigation on whether or not the district should implement a full-day kindergarten program. During their presentation, the committee recommended to the board that the district should implement a full-day kindergarten program. At the conclusion of their presentation, members of the Board of Education directed questions to the committee regarding their recommendation, as did members of the public. I asked members of the board and members of the public to review the presentation that they had seen that evening once again and to direct any additional questions they may have regarding this recommendation to Dr. Clark and Mrs. McLaughlin. All questions that were received during the course of the last month from the board and the public will be addressed and answered by Dr. Clark and Mrs. McLaughlin this evening. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to contact the board and send us questions regarding this program. At the completion of Dr. Clark's presentation, members of the Board of Education will be given another opportunity to ask Dr. Clark and Mrs. McLaughlin any additional questions. During the first recognition of the public, members of our community can direct any questions again to Dr. Clark or Mrs. McLaughlin as well. The board will vote as a full board tonight on whether or not to implement the full day program during our facilities and finance committee section of our meeting. If the board votes tonight to implement a full day kindergarten program for the 2015-16 school year, it will appear again during the 2015-16 budget review. At that point in time, the board will have an opportunity to review the associated expenses with that particular program. Later in tonight's meeting, during our policy and curriculum report, Mrs. McLaughlin, chair of that committee, will review and discuss the committee's recommendation on the district's calendar for the 2015 school year. The board will discuss the calendar recommendation and then vote on the final calendar this evening. In January, members of our community, members of our district staff, members of our school administration, and our Board of Education worked to complete the district's strategic plan. With the guidance from our NJSBA service representative, Mrs. Gwen Thornton. Mrs. Thornton guided us through the strategic planning process over the course of 3 meetings. A great deal of work was accomplished during these meetings, and we are very eager to present and share with everyone the strategic plan that was developed. The group's work will be presented at our next regularly scheduled monthly meeting on February 23rd at 7:30 p.m. in the Clinton Township Middle School. Those are my comments for this evening. I'm going to move a couple things around on the agenda from what you see on your hard copy tonight. First, I'm going to ask Mr. Colantano to do his presentation on the audit of our school district, and then Dr. Clark will do her presentation on the full day kindergarten. So, Mr. Colantano, would you please present the findings on the audit this evening?
Thank you for inviting me again this year. Can you hear? I know you don't want a long presentation this evening. Okay. I know you don't want a long presentation tonight. As the usual presentation that I make, I indicate that the audit report, over 100 pages, most of the pages are kind of useless, very boring, good item to read before you go to bed so you go to bed faster. But what I do like to do is to give you the additional handouts that are being passed around at the moment to help enhance the audit a little bit, to explain things of what have happened here last year. Also, we talk about what's happened here for the last 10 years. So there's a lot in the report. The most important thing you as board members have to know is where to find it. A lot of this stuff is really interesting, and most of it shows the good job that's been done by the Board of Education and administration of Clinton Township over the past few years. Things have been financially, I feel, very much under control. Money's being well spent, and you're looking at both the taxpayers and the educational program also. The first page of the handout is the audit exhibit B2. If you looked in your audit report, which I don't see on the tables tonight, but there is an exhibit B2. What I've done with the handout is taken that B2 and compared it to last year's B2 to show you what kind of changes have been made over that 1 year period of time. It tells you where your money is coming from and how it's being expended and whatever changes there were. Last year, we had a small increase in real estate taxes of $249,000, well below the 2% that's allowed by the state of New Jersey. Other revenues decreased slightly by $27,000, primarily because of the services that were no longer needed by the Borough of Lebanon for administrative services of a board secretary and administrator. Expenditures were definitely under control. As a matter of fact, there was a decrease in expenditures of about 2.73% over the preceding year. One of the big reasons for that decrease is the money that's included in the audit report that's being expended by the state of New Jersey on behalf of your professional staff for pension purposes. That money decreased primarily because the governor did not make the contribution to the pension plan last year on behalf of the school teachers. The second exhibit is a 10-year analysis of your surplus, and this is one of the items I indicated where I feel the Clinton Township is doing a good job as far as maintaining financial stability and utilizing your funds well. Over the two-year period, 2014 compared to 2013, we had a decrease of $385,000 in surplus, primarily because of the fact we transferred $1,244,000 to the Capital Projects Fund. For capital projects on your four schools that will be made, costing basically nothing to the taxpayers of the town because of money that you've been able to set aside over the years. Most of the projects this year that were the money was put aside for were security reasons. But looking at the surplus, we have money that it's put into the budget. It's, there's a line on my worksheet that says budget appropriation tax relief for $200,000. One of the things I think the board is probably well aware of, but I just want to bring it up to your attention again. The wealth of the community is over $2 billion, $2,135,000 as of the audit report date. Which means basically every $200,000 you spend represents 1 cent on the tax rate. 1 cent equates to $10 on a $100,000 home assessment. So the this year's budget, you had $200,000 in the budget that we just went through. That's going to offset taxes, which will save just under 1 cent on the tax rate. If you can recall over the prior years, I tell you how much money you have in surplus, and then I proceed to take it all away from you because of reasons that you have done as board members to put money aside for future needs of the community. At the end of the year, we had $606,000 in what they call the capital reserve, which can only be used for capital projects. That's after we've taken money out for the present projects you're now involved in. So your surplus would have been much higher at the end of the year, but you did take the money out for the future capital projects or the capital projects that we're working on right now. We have a maintenance reserve for $323,000, and it's exactly what it's referred to. It's maintenance purposes of the buildings. Then we have the $200,000 that went into the budget as tax relief, and the free balance, which is your surplus that you can spend, of $746,000. So the real surplus that you actually have is $746,000 for operating purposes. The other exhibit, which is the third one in line, is the J4 audit exhibit, which is a 10-year analysis of both revenues and expenditures. What I do for the presentation purposes is take out the middle 8 years and show the year 2005 compared to the year just ended, 2014, and see where we've been basically and how and what we've done since then and how much of increases we had and where the increases are. As far as the general tax levy for Clinton Township, a 10-year increase of about 34%, which sounds like a lot of money, but we have to remember it's over a 10-year period of time. And there's another exhibit that we'll get to before I sit down that'll explain that a little bit further. Tuition income coming into the district is up 105% over that 10-year period of time. We're receiving $223,000 more than we received in 2005 for out-of-district tuition coming in. State sources are up by $251,000. Even though that's 16%, that's very good for Hunterdon County, that the school district is able to receive additional funds. And you'll see a separate line right below where state sources operating are shown, state sources operating school choice. Clinton Township is a very attractive community, educationally wise. We've been able to receive from the state of New Jersey $1,320,000 for school choice aid. Students coming here because they want to, not because they live in a township. So that's going to benefit the taxpayers considerably. At the bottom of the page are your expenditures over that 10-year period of time. My little page, I have a lot of markings on it, and there's a lot of VGs, which we reflect very good as far as the amount of expenditures that we have over that 10-year period of time as far as keeping control. One thing that stands out, however, is our special education tuition and transportation over that 10-year period of time. It's increased considerably. There's not much we can do about it. It's there, but that is a large item of increase for the district. The other ones are all relatively very, very good. Employee benefit increases over that 10-year period of time, again, is a repeat from last year, and it's primarily because of health insurance. And the last page of the handout, one of the problems that Clinton Township has is they keep changing their assessed values, so it's very, very difficult to measure based on tax rate what's happened in Clinton Township as far as the tax requirements of the school district. This 10-year exhibit that I'm showing you is taking the actual tax requirements and showing the increase. I have a red line down the middle of my page starting with the year June 30th, 2009, we've only increased taxation by 3.2% over the last 6 years of operations. Before that, we had a couple abnormal years, a new school opened, additional costs to the district. But for the last 6 years, we've had nominal increases in taxes. I wanted to show it that way and compare it to the assessed values, where you can see where there are dramatic differences with the actual percentage of dollar requirements compared to the tax rate because of the assessed values within the community have changed considerably over that period of time due to the economic situation that we've been in with the last 5-6 years. Assessed values have gone down. So your tax rate will be going up, even though the taxes haven't gone up. That's why I wanted to show this. This is a repeat from last year. I just wanted to bring it out again. As far as audit recommendations, there are none. We have some suggestions that have been discussed with the administration. The difference between a suggestion and a recommendation is if it's a recommendation, it requires action by the Board of Education. If it's a suggestion, you can either choose to do something about it or modify what you're doing or how you're doing it, anything of that nature. There's nothing really serious as far as we could see with the financial operation of the district. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for that report, Mr. Clinton. One quick question. As you look at our audit this year, and you've been an auditor for some time, I'm going to ask you to do something forward-looking, which normally an audit is backward-looking. But what areas of concern would you say that you can identify on a go-forward basis in terms of suggestions for ways that the board can financially address potential large items or planned increases due to the nature of taxes, insurance, maintenance, and things like that?
I think most of the most of the suggestions that we made have been handled already by the administration. Nothing serious. The only one thing that's been hanging on for a number of years is getting the money from the state of New Jersey for the projects that we're in. With the change in board secretaries that we've had over a number of years and a number of changes, we haven't been able to sit down and work on it continuously. I know you hired somebody separate to come in and help out on that matter, but that is one of the sticking points. It's a considerable amount of money, around $1 million or something of that nature. It's not that we won't get it. It's just a question. It's nicer to have in our bank account than the state of New Jersey's. There are some unexpended balances that can be canceled. That'll create a little bit of relief for debt service because it can be used as anticipated revenue. You chose last year, I believe, to do away with the treasurer's position. the way that works is we still have to have somebody doing the reconciliation separate from the business administrator's office and the actual placement of that requirement to somebody has wasn't made as of June 30th that we were able to see. But that's in process of being completed also. And then we had some problems with the application for state school aid. Most of these items are small in nature. Right? As far as the maintenance of the office, maintenance of the records, we have no problems really with any of those items. Anything stands out. Internal controls are good. There's a lot of checks and balances. The board provides a lot of that by your monthly bill approval procedures, appointments of new personnel, things of that nature. When we do the audit, one of the first things we do is to read the minutes. You know, we want to know what the board knows. And if they do know it, and they should know it, the minutes will tell us that. And so those procedures are all in place. They're good.
Thank you.
I have a question. You noted in your report that the significance of the special education costs, and a lot of that is out of the board's control in terms of the tuition that out-of-district placements cost and the transportation costs. How does this compare to other districts? Do you see that this is a typical, that it have a higher percentage of increase over a 10-year period?
This district is a little bit unique. I remember quite a few years ago, most of the special education costs were within the district. And apparently over the years, changes have been made where a lot of students are being sent to other districts and whatnot. So those costs are high for here compared to the other districts because of the change in philosophy and a change in way of doing things.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Clonton, I have a question. About 2 years ago, when you were giving the same presentation, you had shared with us that our surplus was lower than you would have liked it to have been. Can you assess our current surplus and give us some guidance as to where you think we stand now?
I think the concern that I had a couple of years ago was the allocation of surplus and where it was. Some of the things we didn't have back then, we do now. The maintenance reserve was 2 years ago was at $50,000. It's now sitting at $323,000. So we've milked that one up nicely. Back 2 years ago, our capital reserve was $472,000. Now it's sitting at $606,000. But that's after we transferred out over $1 million of money this year. So the comment from 2 years ago is kind of turning around. We're picking up more and more surplus. So I'm much more comfortable now than I was a couple of years ago as far as the status of surplus and where it sits.
So you believe this is a fair, leaves us at less risk than we were 2 years ago?
It wasn't necessarily risk. What I was worried about 2 years ago is what you accomplished this year by making the transfer for capital reserves. You had the money to do it now. To say the taxpayers are a considerable amount of money. I took notes, believe it or not, this morning before I just can't find out where they are. When we made the transfer to capital reserve, that was our share of the capital projects that are funded by the state of New Jersey. Because of the money that we had on hand without going to the voters through a referendum, which I did have a couple districts that had to do that, the town of Clinton being one, we took in around $600,000 from the state of New Jersey because we had the 60% to put down, and we got the other 40% of the project costs from the state. So it was a considerable savings to the members of the community because it's something now they don't have to put out of their own pocket. We had the money. We reserved it. I'm looking forward to hearing this next presentation a little bit. I've been reading about it. It's very interesting.
Great. Thank you so much.
Now I'd like to move on to Dr. Clark's presentation on full day kindergarten. Okay.
Do you want me to do my regular first? Or?
That would be the presentation.
Okay. Will be posted on the website tomorrow, so you can take a look at it and review it and go over anything that you might have missed here tonight and share it with your friends. So why now? Right? And this is about the advent of the Common Core and the greater depth in the curriculum changes that have been made from kindergarten through Franklin High School. And so that's why we're looking at this now, at this particular time and moment in our history. It has been looked at before and discussed before. We're really talking about the gift of time for the children to learn what they need to learn over the course of a year in a full-day program. So one of the questions that was asked was, what about school choice? How will school choice impact the full day number? It won't impact them at all, certainly not for September. We have been using school choice numbers over the last few years due to some changes in enrollment, and some changes in the board direction about school choice, and frankly, it changes in the amount of children that are out there in the various communities that we serve. And so we have an opportunity right now. We only have one school choice kindergarten student in our program for September of 2015. So there's only one school choice student enrolled in the kindergarten program for next year. So school choice will not be impacted at all, whether it's full day or half day. Will full day K stop us from closing the school if we need to? No, it really has nothing to do with it. You will get an increase in your enrollment numbers that first year for the kindergarten, full day kindergarten. You will change your kindergarten enrollment numbers. That is absolutely correct. The issue is that over the course of the year, you do not increase those numbers from full day kindergarten because those children almost always all return to us in first grade. So they come back to Clinton Township anyway. They may not attend kindergarten in Clinton Township because they want a full day program and they get it elsewhere. So it doesn't really impact our decision to close a school. That will be decided over enrollment numbers and demographic studies that cover 5 years. It really has nothing to do with it. There'll be a lot of other considerations facilities and use, and the ad hoc committee is studying that now. Full day kindergarten won't impact that at all. Are there any negatives for children attending a full day kindergarten program? A number of people asked me if we have thought about that at all. Yes, we have. You know, every child is an individual. None of them are the same. They don't have the same needs. They don't have the same body parts. And a full-day program may affect each of them differently. And there could be some children who a full-day program maybe isn't the best option, or maybe a longer day, a later bus ride at the end of the day might be a consideration. So I think we have to consider that as we're exploring options and looking at all of our students. And maybe look at some other options for those students who might need something else. If enrollment is declining, why haven't my taxes and the school budget gone down? Part of the answer was in our auditor's report. There is a 2% cap on school budgets, at least for the last few years. Before that, there was, I believe, a 4% cap. Yes, Mr. Nolkheimer. Not easy. There was a 4% cap. And you have to go outside of the budget process to vote if you want to exceed that. Our budget, for certainly the last 4 years, has been under that 2% cap. And if I heard Mr. Palmitano correctly tonight, he said in the last 6 years, it's only gone up 3.2% over the last 6 years. So we have certainly not exceeded or gone to cap at any time in those last 4 years. But our expenses have gone over that 2%. And so as the expenses go over 2%, taxes, we have to balance that budget somehow. And we're not raising taxes that much. Our expenses are going up. That's where you're filling in that money. Taxes are also impacted by home values at assessed value. And ratables within the town, and those have been negatively impacted by the economic downturn. So that's also impacted those tax numbers. Will we have more out-of-district costs and students if we provide full-day kindergarten? No, not really. It's not really relevant. IEPs and special needs are determined by individual student plans, and it really has nothing to do with a full-day program or a half-day program. The length of the school day is not a primary consideration. Certainly, it's considered for every child, but it's not a primary consideration. It's really that program that determines what the student needs are. So it's not likely to have any kind of impact. And right now, tonight. I'm just asking, answering some additional questions that came up. But they looked at 30 minutes of math instruction daily. Right now, in a half-day program, students alternate between math and writing instruction every other day. That's not the best thing for our students. So we're looking at putting 30 minutes of math instruction daily and 30 minutes of writing workshop instruction daily instead of every other day. There would be 45 minutes of hands-on learning experience, projects, and the time to experiment without the rush. We know that young children learn by doing, and so that's what we want them to do more of. Lunch and recess was brought up at our last meeting, and I did want to share that one of the things that was talked about is the need for that guidance and support for lunch and recess, and we will be providing that kind of support. Our guidance counselor now, Chris Run, goes out and works with students in a lunchroom and at playground. Also, social skills instruction, which would be another part of the school day added to the school day. We do some of that now as part of our programming, but there would be more specific learning regarding that. And I know that we talked about that as really a very important need for our young learners. Handwriting and additional reading instruction and support within the classroom environment. Okay, more questions. I tried to get this answer short, but there's really no short way to answer it. So how are we estimating enrollment and staffing? We're doing the best we can without knowing exactly what our enrollment numbers are going to be for kindergarten yet. So we're estimating, and what I did, I thought the cleanest way to do this, and I understand that it's not perfect, all right? So I'm asking you to just go with it in its imperfect way, because it's the best way I can think of to show you. I looked at Dr. Griff's study, and I actually contacted him, the demographic study, and I asked him which tables, because his study, by the way, is on the website, and I asked him which tables. You'll notice that there are a number of different tables that he refers to, and if you have half-day kindergarten, these might be your numbers. If you have full day, these might be your numbers. So what I looked at was table 16 for a half-day program, which is 83 students in the 15-16 school year, and table 18 for a full-day program, which is 99 students, all right, based on his report. I looked at the current average class size based on the October 15, 2014 number, because usually when I try to reference numbers, try to go with that October 15th count because it's a stable number from year to year. So I looked at the October 15th count, and I looked at the average class size there. It was 16.1 in our half-day program, all right, with a total of 97 students enrolled. So what the ad hoc kindergarten committee looked at was doubling the classes, all right, because if you have a half day, you have to have a full day, so you double your classes. So there's three, so we would add three more. That's three more, making the assumption that we would keep the class size relatively close to that number. I can't say to you this year, I need two special educators. I'm going to need two next year. Might be different next year. The needs might be totally different. I might need four. I might need one. We do some projections for that based on what we know is coming up, but that could change at any time. You know, if you've looked at agendas, you see that sometimes we have to hire another educator in the middle of the year that maybe we didn't think we were going to have to do. So I assign staff by the number of sections in each grade and special education needs. If enrollment goes down in the district, it's likely to impact some grades and not other grades. So those might decrease staff. So let's say, this is not exact, let's say in sixth grade I have declining enrollment. Maybe I'm going to go down staff in sixth grade. I might be able to move those staff members to the kindergarten program. All right? So I might move people around. It depends on their certification, right? They have to be certified. They have to have certain experience. Sometimes, you know, a high school math teacher might not be the person who you want to put in the program. You have to look at their certification and other factors. I just want to remind you that as I look at these enrollment numbers and staffing, this is not etched in stone. This is only an estimate based on what I know right now, right? We could get a lower enrollment than we expect or that Dr. Britt predicted, all right? And so if you get a lower enrollment, you might not have even those two sections. You might have one section in grade. So those all impact your enrollment and staffing numbers. So I'm just going to lean on this a little bit. Okay. How much will it cost? This is a very hard number to get down to drill down to, but I gave you what I would consider my best estimate, all right? And there are certain constraints that I'm working under when I give you this estimate. And it's that we don't have the 15-16 budget information, so we haven't put that budget together, so I don't have all the numbers for that. We do not have a signed and negotiated agreement with the bargaining units, so I'm not exactly sure what our increases in salaries will turn out to be. We're working with demographic numbers right now, not actual enrollment. And finance and facilities has not reviewed a total 15-16 budget for the complete tax impact. All right? So they haven't looked at that with staffing, class size, all of those things. So those are the constraints I'm working under here. But what I did is I tried to put together some numbers for you. And when I look at the difference between full and half day, I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of $162,930. And that's to the kindergarten budget, all right? Now, when I put that, I'll play it out for you on a future page so you can see some of the details in there. But it's inclusive. One of the things that came up last time was, did we fully load it, meaning did we include the benefits for the teachers? Did we look at some other supplies? We did. We also have a decrease in transportation costs. So what you initially think might be a $300,000 number is less because we lose that midday transportation runs, which are a little over $80,000. So that's why you see that it's not as huge a number as you would initially think it was. And I did this based on what the ad hoc committee looked at, which again is not etched in stone, and that's three additional sections, all right? and it's based on the costs in the 14-15 budget. So a little bit of that is probably going to go up because we know that prices increase in 15-16. And we could have a greater reduction in staffing. Right now, I'm estimating a reduction in staff due to the declining enrollment of around 3 teachers. That's what I'm pretty sure of. It could turn out to be more than 3. If those numbers don't play out, it could be 4. All right? It could be 5. It really depends on how those numbers play out closer, which would also impact that amount of money for the cost of the program. Not because it's not the actual cost to you, all right? To you, the taxpayer, and in the budget. Clearly, a full-day program is going to cost you more than a half-day program. However, it may not play out in your tax impact because of the declining enrollment and repurposing of teachers. So will my taxes go up? It's too early for me to give you an honest answer, but based on declining enrollment, probably not, due to the repurposing of existing staff. Based on adding full-day kindergarten, I don't know what's going to happen in the rest of that budget that might impact taxes. So it will depend on the costs in the rest of the budget and the tax base. And we'll know more as we get closer to that budget formation. And the board, the Finance and Facilities Committee in particular, reviews that budget impact very carefully. And they're going to be looking at that balance of the cost of full-day K and does it have an impact on other programs and costs there. Okay. All right, so I just played out a little bit of the current cost of half day and an estimated cost of full day. And you know, when I looked at the supply number, we added in, if you look at the cost, the supplies in a full day program, that's because we were adding in some additional technology for additional sections of classes. And some other materials for them that you don't have in that cost of a half day, all right? There are some other supply costs elsewhere in the budget that might be impacted, but I tried to do it as clean as possible so it would be easier for you to see. I have that little star there to remind you these are estimated numbers, all right? So you have the cost of a full-day program at $475, all right, and change, and your cost of your current cost of a half-day, $312. All right, that's really due to you don't see as much of a difference because you lose that transportation money in there. All right. Okay. Yep. All right. Okay, so other Hunterdon County districts with full-day kindergarten programs, this is a comparison so that you can see that Clinton Township and Union Township are the only two districts right now in Hunterdon County that do not have a full-day kindergarten program. And there's a little note at the bottom, 80% of kindergarten programs, slightly higher than the national average of 77% statewide, or full day, according to the New Jersey Department of Education. I wanted to give you a quote from Arne Duncan, who's the Secretary of Education in the United States. He said, "America is at an educational crossroads, and we must ensure we are moving forward, not back. We must recognize that educational opportunity is a national priority and that equity and excellence matter more than ever." I think those are the things that we are looking at as a district in our consideration of a full-day K program. As we get to our discussion and comments, I'd just like to let you know that I do have an apology for the community, that it's come to our attention that the audio of the last presentation was cut short. A wire came loose during the recording, and we didn't notice it until afterwards. We found the wire loose. So I'm sorry we can't go back and re-record, so I apologize to those of you. You get most of the presentation, but there's a point where it cuts off, and that's because the wire came loose at the table, and it wasn't noticed. I also put an important note in there. I know I've said this a few times, but I really want to make a point of this, that you know, those are the constraints that we're working under. We base the salaries on the 2014-15 budget, not 15-16, because I don't have them all right now. And our budget is not completed at this time. And we don't know what our negotiated increases. Thank you, and Madam President, questions?
Thank you. Anyone on the board have any questions for Dr. Clark or Mrs. McLaughlin?
Can you do me a favor, Dr. Clark? Can you sort of elaborate on the social skills instruction in terms of concrete examples, and are they curricular in nature? Or are they more social interaction and observing and correcting poor behaviors and encouraging good behaviors?
No, it's actually more than social interaction and providing that. Clearly, you want to provide that. You want to provide it in a supervised way and in an instructional way. So, for example, there might be times in the classroom where you hold a meeting with your class, all right? Maybe after recess. All right, where you take an incident that might have happened on the playground, all right, between some students, and you role play it, and you work it through with the students so that they learn maybe the way it was handled was not the most appropriate way. Maybe there's a better or different way to handle that, to give them some other options. And that's the kind of thing our teachers are doing more and more of now in the classroom. That role playing becomes very important.
Thank you.
I wanted to just also point out that we use a curricular component called responsive classroom. And so by having an extended day program in kindergarten, that would allow the teachers to have more time to expand on the responsive classroom skills that they utilize in morning meeting and direct social instruction.
Good to know.
Any other questions for Dr. Clark or Ms. McLaughlin?
Actually, I have one more. Just you mentioned at the beginning of the presentation that one of the primary drivers for the decided to. Sorry to sort of put you on the spot.
That's a hard question because we're, you know, when I spoke last time, one of the things that I spoke about was how it took me a while to come to a point where I really felt that full day kindergarten was the best program for our students. I thought that maybe there were more options that parents could explore at home with their own children that might provide other opportunities for them. However, I guess what I would have to say now is, despite the Common Core, whether we had the Common Core or not, I think it's driving a lot of this conversation now. However, I think I would have still come to the same conclusion that full-day kindergarten is the way to go. And the reason why I would say that is because families are changing now. The environment that our children grow up in is changing in very different and fundamental ways that I think schools and kindergarten programs in particular are uniquely positioned to address. It's that time to give them that social interaction. You know, we talked last time at the meeting, you know, I had lived in my neighborhood where my kids grew up for 29 years. Yes, I'm old. And in those 29 years, I've watched a lot of changes. If I just looked out my front window, 29 years ago, the kids were playing all over the street at all hours, all right? There were outside hockey games, all kinds of things going on. The longer I was in the community, and those houses turned over, so there were young children there, it wasn't all old folks. Those kids were not out there on the street anymore. They're all much more regimented in terms of activities, video games, all right? They're inside more and alone more. And I don't mean alone without parents. I mean not with groups of kids. If they are with them, they're on a sports field, right? Something that's much more organized and regimented. I think that time for learning social interaction and that role playing, that guided learning experience, is that kindergarten, first grade, those primary years that are so, so important for them developmentally. And we know so much more now about how children learn. So I guess that's the long answer, but the answer is yes, I would still recommend it.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the board?
Yeah, I'm curious about one comment under frequently asked questions. Anyone reading the literature in regards to full-day kindergarten knows that all of the literature over the past few years has stated that many children entering full-day kindergarten are not ready for full-day kindergarten. And yet, on our fourth frequently asked questions, our response to that is, well, we'll need to be aware of children who may not be ready and think about options for them. If we know walking into a recommended program that there are going to be issues, why do we not have a plan in place right now to take care of those individuals that we know will enter full-day kindergarten and will not be ready for full-day kindergarten?
It's a good question. I think what we've been talking about now is how we put that plan together, how we make it work. And it takes some resources and some time to do that for us to go through that planning. And we haven't done it until we were sure that the board was moving in that direction. This subject has come up a few times before, and we haven't made that decision to move in that direction. I felt I didn't want to use those resources right now, but I think we do have to have a plan in place.
In the financial numbers, is there a reason that we chose low salaries rather than average salaries for repurposed teachers, recognizing that we don't know who the individuals are that would be repurposed, but we seem to have chosen the least expensive amount rather than the average?
Well, what I know is the people who I've been likely to move into kindergarten positions, I'm not likely to move the longest term teachers in those positions because of their experience in certain grade levels. So I did pick some mid-range in there, all right, that average salary. But I do have some of the lower ones, and that's because that's frankly more likely who were going to be repurposing and moving there.
I think it should be noted those would be all.
That's also lower why rents. I said it was an estimate. I was really trying to make sure I told everybody these are rough numbers.
Any other questions for Dr. Clark, Ms. McLaughlin? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to, one last time this evening, change the order of the published agenda that you have in front of you. I am now, while Mr. Colantano's here and Dr. Clark just finished her presentation, I'll open the floor up for public comments just in case there's questions for Mr. Colantano or Dr. Clark on her presentation. So with that said, I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 40 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board?